Hello, everybody. Happy March. I hope you're all doing really well and thinking about all of you. I'm so happy to be here today for our clinic call. Before we jump into the clinic call, there's something I wanted to tell you, and now I forgot. Wait, hold on a second. What is it that I wanted to tell you? Oh, dear. I don't remember. Okay, it'll come back to me later, and I'll tell you guys. In the meantime, I'm excited to jump in and hear what's going on for you in terms of your clients, your enrollment conversations, your energetics, what's going on in your business. You know, we have once a month a clinic call and once a month a business Q&A call. We've kind of sort of like let the two bleed into each other, which I think has worked just fine. So, if you want to bring a question about marketing or systems or business, feel free to bring it forward today, along with anything that you see, you know, any support you need with clients, with your groups, with your enrollments, with your curriculum, all of that. And with that, I'm just going to open us up. So star 2 if you've got a question. Who is this? 0684 are your last numbers.
Hi, Joanna. This is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Happy to be here as well. I have a question, and I feel I'm a little bit stuck in my business, and I'm an entrepreneur for 14 years now. I did a lot of training, international training, consulting, organized my retreats since 2012. I do exclusively one-on-one coaching, but I feel a little bit restless, and it is as if I need a new challenge. And mm-hmm. when I do have a goal, I go for it, but I feel I'm paddling on a river and going to nowhere. And for the first time in my business, I feel a little bit stuck, as if some things are more routine. And I feel this especially, well, I felt it last year a little bit, but I feel it more strongly after I got back from 1 month off from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little bit lost. I don't know how to put it in words. It's a feeling. And when I'm talking to clients, it's all well. I do my work. I do it well. Clients are satisfied. So I feel a little bit like a spoiled child with this problem. Well, it's not a problem. It feels like a luxury to have this problem, but I feel stuck and I need some new challenge. So I was wondering if you have some journaling questions I could reflect on, because I think it's not something I can solve in 1 hour or
right.
a few days.
Yeah, I agree.
You get the picture,
it's
right?
It's not like I'm going to ask the one question, you're going to answer it right now, and we're going to go there. So I will give you some journaling questions, but are you open to just a little bit of coaching to kind of like open up the pathways a little bit more
yes.
before you get to the...
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know your business that well, so I'm going to reflect what I think I know about your business and tell me
mm-hmm.
if I'm getting this right. My sense from what you've shared now and a little bit of what you've shared in the past is that it's been easier. Like in the past, you've had the vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's come pretty easy, and then
yeah.
you've been able to go after it.
Yeah.
Am I getting that right? But now is a moment where it's like the vision just isn't really there, the next level vision. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
It's yeah.
absolutely right. Yeah, I had a vision, I worked on it, and I reached my goals. And now what's next?
Yeah.
And there I got stuck.
Yeah. And so what I'm really curious about is why would the vision not be there now? So let's just take focus
yeah.
off for a moment of what the vision is. Like, we can get around
mm-hmm.
to that, you know, but
mm-hmm.
Why do you think this is happening now, since it's been easy in the past?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. And normally I set goals. I already set them, short-term goals, with money goals and client goals, etc. But it seems like I'm not that, it's not that challenging anymore. And I for myself know I need some challenge. I like to hike, so it's like a mountain I'd like to climb, and now I don't see any mountain. And on the one hand, it's perfect because I live my life on my own terms. I did a lot of work. I put a lot of work in reaching and having the life I now have, my lifestyle. It's all good. And then it's okay.
Yeah.
And
so
now
I hear that you want a challenge, and I hear that you thrive off of challenges.
Yeah.
And if there was a reason why you would be avoiding a challenge right now, even if it's just a guess, what would you guess at? Why might you be avoiding? Because I hear that you want it, but I also hear that you're avoiding it, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're so good. I know. Yeah, because I, on the one hand, I like things going smooth and going easy. Start where it's easy. So it's ambiguous. Is that the word?
Yeah,
one hand and on the other hand. So on the one hand, I need a challenge. On the other hand, I think, I need a challenge. It's fine like it is. So
let's stay with that for a moment. So what's the I think there's a limiting belief in there about challenges.
Yeah. It is.
Or about taking it easy. I'm not sure. What's the limiting belief? Because it's almost like you're saying you can have one or the other, but not both. But you tell me, what's the limiting belief in there?
I think my fear could be that then you have to work again so hard. And on the one end, I like hard work, but on the other hand, I think, oh my God, what if you change things? Would that work? And so I'm in the resistance mode when it concerns to change.
Okay. Now we're on to something.
We are on to something, yeah.
So it's like there's a little bit of a ping pong game going on inside.
Exactly.
Yeah. And on the one hand, it's like, I want a challenge, I want a challenge, I want a challenge. But then it's pinging back to, oh, but if I give myself a challenge, then it's going to be so much work. Right? And then
it
you kind of
really
hang
stupid.
Out there. But then you're like, no, but I want a challenge, I want a challenge. Right? And back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
So
there's maybe
a little bit of black and white thinking here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but I recognize it now when you describe it like this, and I hear myself talking. I think, okay, what are you doing? You're ping ponging right now. And on the one hand, I'll tell myself I want more free time, and on the other hand, but you also like a challenge. So it's a constant dialogue of black and white. Yeah, and it's like I think or this or that. But could it also be and this and that? I don't know.
Yeah. So what if there was more of a gray zone here, like a belief that could support, more of the gray zone here, and one that would be more supportive of you? That's what's even more important, a belief that would be more supportive.
Mm-hmm.
What would it be? And I'll say, like, we don't want to just make up something here, because it is true that a challenge will take more work than when you're not in a challenge, right? So we want to honor that truth. But what's the belief that is important here for you to move forward with?
I have to put it in English. Challenge can feel good as well. I don't know how to put it exactly in the right words, but it is true. I like a challenge, but sometimes I'm afraid of the work and afraid that I should also fail. So that could be also an important topic. Uh-huh. But I can take it step by step. What could be a supportive belief? A challenge can be fun. I have to play more. That could also be because on the one hand, I want more playfulness and more freedom. What if a challenge could be freedom? What if a challenge is freedom? Well, I'm talking out loud now.
Yeah, and what if you, and what I'm also hearing here, maybe you tell me, is that if you bring this sense and energy of play to the challenge, there may actually still be room for free time in it too.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it's both of best worlds, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you bring this energy of play to the challenge, what does that do to the fear of failure that you mentioned?
There's a lot of less. Then I don't see the failure. It feels like there's nothing at stake because I can play.
It's an experiment. You're playing.
It's like an experiment.
Good. Okay, so let's pause here for a moment. What's important? What are you seeing?
I see, well, the black and white thinking, I see it more clearly now. And I feel the energy in my body right now. When we talk about play and the energy and fun, that's a smile on my face right now.
Good. Okay, good. So then that's really your first piece of homework is really to continue to connect in with this energy of play and freedom in connection to challenges, right? So to connect more here, because with the old belief, it doesn't matter what journaling questions I give you, you're not going to get the vision, right? It's really this energy and this belief that's going to open up the pathway for the vision.
Yeah.
We may not even need, I'm going to give you journaling questions, but we may not even need them. It's really the energy to carry it, right? So I want you to connect in with this. And if you want, you can even write from the voice of this playful one to you.
Oh, okay.
You know, just, I would journal for a couple days over the next week or two, you know, a couple sittings from the voice of the playful one. And I let's ask the playful one the questions, okay?
Yeah.
So
let's
ask, maybe one day you can ask the playful one, what would really excite you over the next year? And then maybe another day you can ask the playful one, what kind of challenge would feel like freedom and accomplishment? And let's put that one, so the first question I asked you, let's ask that first. The second one I just asked, let's put that third, and let's put a question in the middle there, which is just, what would be really exciting? Like, what would I love to do and explore in my business? Ask the playful one, what would you love to do and explore in my business? And let's see what wants to come through those questions. How does all of that feel?
Feels really good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to sit down and talk to the playful one and let her voice answer these questions, and I already feel some answers coming up. So
awesome. Beautiful. I just got chills when you said that. Good. Keep us posted. I want to hear what comes through.
I will. Yeah. Thank you so much. Really helpful. I feel lighter now. More. Yeah. I feel free. Thank you.
Good. You're so welcome. Awesome. Let's see who's next. Kara.
Hi, Joanna. I might have two questions, but we'll start with one. I think I've almost filled my program with I'm going to have 9 or 10 people, which is exciting.
Yay! Wait, can we just take a moment and celebrate? Yay! Awesome. So well done.
Yay! Thank you. It was a lot of inner and outer work, let me tell you.
Yeah, you were. And it paid off. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have like somebody potentially signing up today, but we start tomorrow, and I did a pilot of this last year with 4 or 5 people that were like super dedicated and showed up for every class, and I just felt like the container was really strong. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling some just anxiousness about just kind of doubling the number for like 6 months. And I have 2 people who can join, but like one has to leave after 45 minutes every time, and one has to leave like 10 minutes early. So I just wanted to talk to you about just like container setting as I'm growing my capacity to hold space for a larger number of people, like some of whom might not be as consistent as my last group.
Yeah, it is just a fact that the more people that are in a group, the the looser the container is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's it is just a fact. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's just how you handle it and how you work it and what you do to tighten the container in other ways, right? So, you know some of these things, but I'll repeat them because it's important for you and for everybody else. So, you know, first thing is on the first class to really take some time in that first class to create the container, which means taking time in that first class to, even though they've obviously are all inspired to do the work because or else they wouldn't have invested and signed up, to re-inspire them, to speak inspirationally about what this experience and journey is about and why it's going to be so amazing and what they can expect, you know, to see and happen and who's in the group and why that's so exciting, you know, and so amazing. So first to just really speak inspirationally to activate their vision and their desire and their longing, even though they've already paid and signed up, you still want to reactivate all of that, you know. And then another piece of setting the container is sharing with them best practices for the program, like how they will really be able to get the most out of it and get the results that they want. And as you speak to that, you know, say, like, of course, you know, sometimes it's hard, like, you know, to make every single call, but I want you to know, you know, the more that you show up, the more that you raise your hand, the more that you stay fully present, the more you're going to receive, you know, and really go through each of the pieces and each of the ways and let them know, like, you know, even if you, because I always feel like people can come in after it starts too, like even if you end up with 12 or 13 or 14, you know, whatever it is, anywhere between the 9 and whatever it is, it's still a small enough group where you're going to be tracking every person in the group pretty closely. Let them know that. Say, like, part of part of why you're in this program instead of some, you know, home, you know, self-learning program is because I am here to track you. I am here to interact with you. I, you know, but the only way that I can track you and give you what you need is if you show up, is if you raise your hand, you know, like all of those things. So really lay that out very carefully. Also speak to resistance, right? Name it, normalize it, you know, all that I speak about that in Curriculum Lab, you know, all of those pieces so that they can see it, they get it, they know how to work it. And then you know, not anywhere 9, 10, 12, 14, like that amount, I would have every person on that first call share. So then I would ask them a journaling question or two around why, like, why are you here? What do you want to receive? How do you want to show up? And have give each person a minute to introduce themselves and to share a little bit so that they can start to hear each other's voices and start to feel more connected in to the group.
Yeah, these are all super helpful. And especially in framing it, because this is, you know, the program's called Untether Your Voice, right? Like, this is voice practice in the class. You won't get anywhere else.
Yeah, so you give that context, too, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, different programs I run have different containers. Like, Coaching Mastery Circle is a very loose container. You know, like, I'm clear about that up front. But even so, if I don't hear from someone, you know, if I see, like, over a period of time, I'm not seeing someone on a call or, you know, whatever, I'll reach out individually and be like, hey, what's up? How are you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, haven't heard from you. I wanted to check in, right? So you can do some of that as well.
Mm-hmm. And then for people who are, like, ducking out early, I would just probably invite them to just leave when they need to and not sort of need to acknowledge their leaving.
Let them know you're not going to acknowledge them coming in.
Yeah.
Them leaving early.
Okay.
But that you do want to hear from them in the Facebook group or however you're going to be communicating, like, what their takeaway is, you know, afterwards, whenever they get a chance.
Perfect. Can I ask one more question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is, you can just give a short answer and I might come back with more specifics. But this whole program, getting it out and talking about it, it made me realize, like, I felt like pushing a boulder up the hill because I haven't done a lot of, like, smaller introductions to my work publicly. And I would just love to hear your quick, how you think about funnels. In terms of like how many steps you should have to your big offer, if you have insights on that, and then I want to kind of think about what that would mean for me separately.
I'm chuckling because it's not such a short answer, but I'll give you a short answer anyway.
Give me the short version of the answer. Yeah.
So it depends. It honestly depends person by person. So what I mean by that is obviously any past client, they don't need anything, right? Referrals, same thing. A referral doesn't need to go through all of these different hoops. They just need a conversation with you. People that have been in your email community for some time or following you on social media for some time, they really just need one, you know, like a preview, some kind of preview class. And then obviously whatever emails that are going to go along, you know, with the launch and all of that. People that are completely new to you probably need a little bit more, like, to hear from you. Sometimes a new person will just step in right away. That can happen 100%. But on average, someone totally new to you who's not a referral either needs to hear from you consistently on social media or hear from you consistently via newsletter or may need, you know, Facebook Live or, you know, before the preview class, you know, they may need some more. So it really just depends on the person and what the degree of closeness they are to you in the first place. So there's obviously much more to that. But I'll let you sit with that. That sounds good.
Yeah, no. Well, what's super helpful is thinking about, like, my preference in this is that I do such an awesome program that, like, most of it fills from referrals and that I don't have to develop all these hoops.
Exactly.
I don't really want to. I'm just like, this is what I want to do.
All right. I mean, you know, I still, I'll share with you all a stat which is like kind of, I mean, it's exciting to me and also crazy to me still in my business, like still in my business, 80% plus of the seats that I fill, doesn't matter how big the program is, 80% plus is usually from returning clients or referrals.
Wow. That's amazing.
So I do, my business does a lot of marketing. Like, you know, I'm not going to lie about that. Like, we have ads and, you know, all of that, but it actually only fills 20% of seats. All of that stuff.
Mm.
When you have a good product, yeah, it's a big deal to have a good product.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, let's see who's next. Michelle.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm taking lots and lots of notes today. That's good. All right, here, I don't know if it's a conundrum or not, but I've gone, you know, because I'm trying to expand and expansion is happening. I've gone.
Expansion is happening.
Is good. I have gone all in on self-care, you know, like really making sure that I exercise so I can sleep and then I'm eating well so I can sleep. Like it all boils into, am I getting sleep? And what's disconcerting, I think that's the word, what's disconcerting for me is that it feels like I'm working less. I don't think the hours say that, but it just feels like I'm working less. But there's more happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand this. I don't understand why this is working, why that works.
Wait, so I make sure I'm understanding you correctly. Like, this is a good thing, right? Do you feel like
it's a good thing. I just don't understand why it works. I think what's happening is that I'm at war with myself, right? It's like, you need to step it up. Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what's happening is that you're in the hallway between the old way and the new way, and you're seeing the new way, but it's like all the fears of the old way are trying to pull you back.
Ew.
How does that land? I may not be right.
You're right. Yeah.
It's like this corridor, you know, and you're aware of the voices behind you and you've really left that, like you're not there anymore. But that second foot just isn't fully in the new way.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so what are, like, just so that we can name them and, like, let them know that we see them, what are some of those old voices that are showing up?
You need to be working really hard.
Yeah.
You're not disciplined because there are all these things that aren't happening.
Mm-hmm.
You're screwing up all your programs.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't gotten any lawyers on board. You're failing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so isn't it so interesting that, like, here you have evidence that the new way is working, right? You're working less, or it feels like you're working less, and things are happening. Even though there's evidence for that, the old, you know, you're failing, you're not disciplined enough, you're not doing enough, you don't have enough people on board. It's like that; those tapes are still running,
mm-hmm.
even though the reality is showing a very different reality from the tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wonder, tell me if you agree, that because there's evidence that this new way actually works, those old tapes are even getting a little bit louder.
That's certainly possible.
They're like, no, don't leave us. We thrive on you paying so much attention.
It's very possible. Yeah, yeah.
So what does the wisdom from the new way have to say to these old voices?
That I'm more efficient when I'm taking care of myself. And that I'm less, I'm clear about the reality of situations in front of me when I'm taking care of myself. So I'm less likely to panic. I'm less likely to, I'm just not as scared. I can see solutions to problems. I can see that things are not problems.
Yeah. It's like the way I look at it is like your container is stronger when you're taking care of yourself.
Yes.
And that's what allows you to be more efficient, to see things, to find solutions, all the things.
Right.
I know it's still new, you know, this voice hasn't been fully like installed in the ways the others had been. But can you feel in your body some truth to what you just said?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you want to really strengthen, like install this new way of being, this new voice. You want to like install that more deeply. And you're doing it, like you're taking care of yourself, you're doing all the things, but if you have some journaling time and space, I would be dialoguing with that voice. Let that one come in more.
Okay.
There's another piece, hold on a second. I know what it is today, I'm losing my thoughts, hold on. When you're taking, you said when you're taking better care of yourself, Michelle, I lost it. I'm sorry. But that's okay. What are you seeing here that's important for you?
I like what you said about I have to really install this voice. It's there. It's driving the show, but it probably doesn't have really, it doesn't have the deep roots that these other voices have.
Yeah, and I feel like these other voices have deep roots, but the roots have gotten thinner and thinner and thinner. Like, you know what I mean? They're just hanging on by a thread, even if it's a deep root.
Yeah.
I remembered what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think those voices are also there to, obviously, to keep you safe, right? But the truth is, like, I mean, honestly, Michelle, because I think they're a little scared that if you take really good care of yourself, you're, like, not going to care so much about your business anymore. You're not going to be as a fit. You know, you're going to be in la-la land. But let's be honest, like, you're a get-it-done gal, and you are so responsible that that's never not going to be the case.
I think that's what I really fear, like, okay, so you spent the first couple hours doing this. What about your business? You know, like, it does come in as, are you banning this? I mean, it's kind of ironic because the core, like, one of the core messages of what I drive home to clients is that you can't get the other things done if you don't take care of yourself. Like, that is, like, that is Michelle Deon Townsend Coaching and Consulting 101, right? And
yeah.
It's kind of, it's crazy ironic that, it's just like, yeah, but you're not going to get the things that you're going to do in your business. And what else are you going to do?
Right. Well, it's not ironic because that's what you're here to teach is what you're here to learn. But I think this is about changing a new paradigm. It's like a new paradigm on what it looks like to get things done. And you didn't use this word, so this may not be the right word. It's just the word that's coming to me. We can change it. I feel like you're creating a new paradigm on what it means to be a responsible person. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word?
Yeah, it is.
So it's like, I think, you know, responsible is a value of yours,
mm-hmm.
which is amazing. It's a value of mine, too. But the definition or the way that responsibility looks like is ready to change. So it's never going to not be a value, because once something is a value, it's usually a value forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, this is about changing how you define it or the paradigm of it. Does that land?
It does.
So if that's the case, you have some other homework that I think would be really valuable is to define what the old way of being responsible has looked like, and then create a new definition of being responsible. And you know, like, you can be vigilant, like, in that new definition, like, read it over afterwards and be like, is this really responsible, you know, so that those other voices don't have to be like, you're not efficient and you're a failure, right? Like, just in a real objective way, like, is this new definition, is it truly responsible, you know? Put it through the test.
Okay.
What are you taking for yourself that's important here?
I'm going to start by saying I read a horoscope of mine and it said this month I'm going to undergo some profound inner changes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm doing that all the time. So yeah, who got the last laugh?
I love it.
At any rate, but I like this image of the hallway that I'm not quite, I'm probably closer to the new part, the new version of me than I am the older part of me, that the roots are really quite loose and don't have they're not as grounded, the old stuff, it's not as grounded as they used to be. And that for me to continue to nurture the new is, I will need to take some time and really make sure I'm clear about the definition of the new and that it's
get behind it,
really aligned and really fully get behind it. Yeah. And that I need to just keep installing the new version because it's got roots.
The neural pathway isn't grooved in yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm really excited. I feel like there's a magical opening for a lot here. Happen.
Yeah, no, I've been actually, you know, so for the critic, I've actually have, like, I've joined organizations that have lawyers in them, and I'm doing more about figuring out what's in the neighborhood and who I can connect with, and so the lawyers are not abandoned, right? I keep figuring out new ways to get at them, like, you know, there's interest, there are lots of seeds that have been planted that are lovely. So I know it's a matter of patience, but it's going to open up a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably, I don't know what I just came to me as you were saying, like, also the quality of lawyer that's going to come to you is going to be more aligned for you.
Yeah.
Good. Keep us posted.
Thank you.
Great. All right. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So this is related to something you brought up earlier about having clients re-sign. And it's something that I am really struggling with. So I've had two clients recently that have ended their contract with me, like, within the past month or two. And I loved working with both of them, and they both have really great results and, like, give me fantastic feedback. But both of them in our last call, in sort of, like, looking forward to, like, what's next for them and what support they needed, and then me sort of outlining, like, how we could keep working together, because both of them were like, oh, I'm so sad, it's our last day. Both of them said that they would love to, but they couldn't because the money just wasn't there. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, is it true? Like, am I just targeting the wrong people? Like, both of them were sort of like in startup phases of their businesses and hadn't made like a return on the investment yet. So I'm like, maybe that's just the nature of the beast and working with people who are just starting out. But it's also like, I feel like there's a lot of fear there. Like when I hear the no, like I immediately am just like, okay. And like feel like the fear of not wanting to ask them for money, not wanting to ask them to invest if they can't actually afford it. You know, and I've listened to the transformational sales call and like I get all of that stuff, but it's still, I feel like there's a ton of blocks up when it comes to actually like working through that and not just accepting it at face value.
Yeah, well, and I think that more fear of that stuff can actually come up when it's a re-sign mm-hmm. than when it's a new person. Mm-hmm. Because then, like, we go into our heads of, like, see, I did the work and it wasn't good enough and they didn't like mm-hmm. it. You know, the results and the, right? So sometimes actually with a re-sign, the stakes, the ego stakes are higher. And
yeah.
So those fears can even be a little stronger. Does that land?
It does. Yeah. And like, I've never had a client re-sign with, like, I've had people come from different programs and start working in like different programs with me after that. But yeah, I've never had this re-sign happen. So part of me is like, well, dang, like maybe what I'm doing just isn't good enough.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the energy that is showing up when someone says, you know, it's just too expensive to
carry.
So of course you're going to back off.
Yeah. But it's interesting. It's like they say that it's worth it and they say that it was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm getting that
message. I'm sure they think it's worth it and it was good. It's you. It's the story that you're making up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what they think.
Yeah.
So
well,
I think there's ahead.
Well, I guess I'm just not sure, like, I guess I'm just not sure how to handle that in the moment, like, because I don't want to be, like, a lot of it comes up, like, I don't want to be pushy, and especially if it's someone that I've developed this relationship with, you know, I don't want to be in, like, sales mode with them again.
Yeah,
I just don't know the best way to do it.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
So first is exactly what you just said is what I would say to the client. I would say, you know, I hear you, that it feels expensive. And just before we go any further, I want you to know that I never want to be salesy, but especially with you, like, we have a relationship, like, this is not about me being salesy or pushy.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to ask you some questions about it, because I'm not attached, but I really want you to make the best decision for you, and I'm wondering if there's any wiggle room here.
Yeah.
Right, just be totally transparent around what's going. I like, as a rule, I'm usually in sales calls and coaching conversations like pretty transparent about what I'm hearing in my head, you
mm-hmm.
know. And it really helps with sales calls because then you don't have to be scared because you're telling them like I'm scared that this is gonna come off this way, and that's not. I just want you to know that's not the intention.
Yeah.
Right, and ask permission if together you can kind of like needle in there a little bit and see what's going on. I think just doing that, you're going to be energetically in a better place, and you're going to, you know, for each person know like the exact questions to ask from there because every situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
But from there, just kind of as a little bit of a template, once you get the green light to look a little further, and I feel like 9 out of 10 times you'll get the green light, you know, you know, you can say to them from there, you know, I hear you, that it's another big investment. And at the same time, I also know that you really want X, Y, and Z. I really want it for you. I really see that it's possible for you. And I think we both know that, you know, left to your own devices, not because it's you, it's just because most of us left to our own devices, it's, you know, it's harder to accomplish that. So, you know, like considering all of that, how can we make this doable for you? Like, what's the missing piece here? You know, is there a missing piece of support in terms of what we spoke about, what you need help with? Is there a missing piece for you in terms of your readiness to really be persistent and consistent and do the strategy to make things happen? Is there a missing piece here around, like, do we need to add, make this a little bit of a longer payment plan to make it a little bit more doable for you each month? Like, what's going on? You know, what can we do here?
Mm-hmm.
I think with a returning client, it's less about going down the road of, like, why are you resistant to this? Unless you got, you know, like, there's a clear kind of resistance, and more around, like, how can we make this work? Like, you're saying you want this. I want this for you. What can we do here?
Mm-hmm.
How does all of that land for you?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think it will help to sort of preface everything by saying I'm not trying to be salesy. That feels like a really important energy shift. And yeah, I offer payment plans, but I think working with them to see what would make sense for them would make sense. It still feels like a little, I don't know. I think I've got some inner work to do around money still, surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. That, like, I get what it's like to not have a lot of money laying around, and, like, yeah, I would never want to convince someone to spend money that they didn't have.
Yeah. I think it's important that you say that, though.
Yeah.
I think it's important that you share that, and if it feels right, to also share that you have made investments in your business in moments where it felt like a stretch, like a big stretch, and it's really paid off.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's all helpful.
Yeah, and then the other piece in there with that last piece that I mentioned, Stephanie, is I think part of the energetic shift for you is for you to stay connected in to, like, to your values for yourself, right? Which is that the truth of what I just said, like, I mean, I don't know your full business history, but I know that you have had a coach for a long time. Right? Like, you, even when it's felt tight, you've upheld that value of having a support and a container and accountability and mentorship is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's true for you, hold that value for your clients without being pushy or deciding for them,
mm-hmm.
but don't throw that value under the rug.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's sort of the key of it is when I switch to asking people for money, like, I fall out of serving and I feel like I'm selling, and then it's not about them anymore. It's about me getting something, and that doesn't feel as good.
Right. And so that's why I'm saying this, because this is like staying focused on serving, right?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
what's in their best interest? And the other little piece I'll just throw out there for you, sometimes it's hard to, like, finagle and make work, but you just said, like, you just ended with two people. What it made me think about was could you do partner coaching with people that have already been through a round with you, and so their fee would be less than continuing one-on-one? You know, could that be an option for some folks?
You mean, like, what do you mean by partner coaching?
Like, instead of coaching one-on-one, coaching one-on-two?
Yeah.
In a session?
That's something that I even added with this last client. I was like, I need to sweeten the deal somehow. And so I added this whole, like, group component where there'd be a Facebook group and more interaction and support with each other. Because I do think that's
actually important. I'm not talking about a group. I'm really just saying, like, instead of coaching one person at a time, coach two people that could make a good match at a time.
Yeah.
So let's say the session is 45 minutes. Somebody first, I mean, the way that I usually set it up is like both people share celebrations in the beginning, just a few minutes, and then I coach the first person for, you know, somewhere around 18 minutes, and then the second person just gets to give reflections to that person because they're learning things for themselves, and then second person gets to go, they get a few minutes of reflection, you know, I coach them, and then they get a minute of reflection from their partner, and then everybody shares what their takeaway is.
Mm.
So it's almost like private coaching, but you're just sharing your time with one other person, and you can lower the rate on it.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. It's like an Uber share.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, right. Stuff to consider. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Who? I think this is Dana. Is it?
Hello?
Jersey. Hi, Dana.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, beautiful. I was having trouble with my headphones, so I wasn't sure. Hi. So I guess I kind of just have a share, and I want to see where it goes from here because I feel like I had this new aha come up. I did the Eve call this morning, so.
Oh, good.
So I feel like I've been in this, like, space where I've been struggling to make my first, like, 3 to 5K consistent months in my business. And to really, like, step into my power in my business and feel like I'm standing there. And then I have a lot of resistance around just, like, all the things that I feel like I need to do in my business. So I'm, like, constantly feeling really drained and exhausted. Also, I'm showing up still and, like, doing the things. But just, like, in life in general, I'm feeling super uninspired and unexcited and just kind of, like, blah and isolated. I think it's because I have the day job. Now I have a few clients at night. And I personally need, like, a lot of downtime and self-care. So it's, like, all of that is kind of just, like, it's funny now. I feel like I'm going to cry, and I have no idea why. Cause I was kind of, like, had a breakthrough and excited share. But, yeah, so I feel like, and so it's just making everything feel, like, harder. And then I get, like, on myself that I should, it's, like, this shouldn't be so freaking hard. Like, it shouldn't be this hard because I have a lot of, like, training and awareness and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so part of me was thinking, like, oh, well, I can start doing more. And, like, because there's a time that I remember in my life where it's, like, as I was getting into my business and getting excited or getting into the idea of, like, being my own business person and what that looked like, you know, back in, like, 2009 or somewhere around then. And, like, I was traveling a lot. I was just, like, enjoying my life. I didn't have excess money. I was sort of just, like, living paycheck to paycheck, which is the same for me now anyway. So, and I was just, like, enjoying my life, and I felt really inspired, and things, like, kind of, like, fell into place more. And I'm, like, craving that again, and I'm kind of thinking, like, okay, well, when I start making more money, like, then I can do that. And then I'm starting having this aha that, like, maybe it needs to be the other way around. Like, maybe I need to just start, like, enjoying my life again, and then the business will kind of expand more. But then I listened to the Eve call this morning, and I had this aha around just, like, what I guess being an entrepreneur or making money looks like. And like I've witnessed my dad do it, and he just works really long hours. Like I think he likes it. I think like he just works really long hours. He's always working. And I think like that belief was put into my head that it's like a lot of work and you work long hours and, but that's okay. And you just do it and you hustle and, you know, that's the grind. And then even a lot of like the business people I started following and still do like in my inbox, and I don't even realize, but I think I'm being programmed there too, that it's like the hustle, the hustle. Someone just shared like when she listens to calls, like any educational call, she'll like put it on like three times the speed so she can absorb more quicker. And I was like, dang.
My God. Meanwhile,
I did the Eve call and it took me 4 hours because I was just soaking it in and like journaling more, and like it felt really good. So I guess I'm having this like block in myself, but my aha from the call was like, it felt really powerful, but I think that I don't believe it yet. But it's this idea that like I could just be me and make money. Like I could just show up and enjoy my life and like just do what brings me pleasure, and like trust that through obviously the parameters that I already have set up for a business anyway, like I can just make money. Like it doesn't have to be anything more or complex or harder, and like just start there rather than like all of these things on the to-do list that I feel like I have to do. Just like show up and be excited about my offerings and talk about them just organically on social media, because that feels good for me right now, and like the places that feel like non-resistant for now, and that'll be enough just to start generating like my first 5K month, and just like keep it simple and easy and like literally just like enjoy my life. So I don't know, that's where I landed, and it felt really good. But
yeah, it sounds like there is a deep need and longing to enjoy your life and take pleasure in all the things that you're doing. That's not happening right now.
Yeah. Yes.
And so,
and it has in the past, but I wasn't making money off of a business at that point. So
right. Well, it's like once we add the like make money off of a business piece, somehow things always feel heavier, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm really hearing, and it's like we always want to go, I mean, I believe this, is that like we always want to go where our soul is telling us to go. And I feel like your soul is telling you that it's time to enjoy and take pleasure. And because that's not something that you're in the practice of doing, it's something that you're going to have to remind yourself to do. And, like, yes, it's about, you know, going and doing some things that you're not doing right now that are pleasurable, but I think even more than that, Dana, it's about, like, taking pleasure from the things that you are doing. How does that land?
Yeah, I'm trying to sit with it. Definitely there's truth in that. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely truth in that, for sure.
So it's you have a couple of clients right now. Instead of feeling like, oh, my God, and I've worked all day and now I'm going to have to see these clients, it's like, ah, I get to see these clients and do this work that is so sacred and important to me. And instead of, it's a Saturday morning and I have to do outreach for my program, it's like, I'm going to share about this and let people know about this. And it is amazing to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think the block is more, like that's all feels good and fine. I think the block, because I think what like felt like an aha during the Eve call was that, and maybe it's related, but maybe it's just like kind of a different thing, like that I could simply, like, because I enjoy my clients, all of that, but I'm still not, like, and I'm doing all the things, but I'm still not, like, generating the income. And I think there's things I'm not doing because I think they're not, like, I don't even, like, let myself go out socially anymore and, like, certain things. Mm. So I think for me, a lot of it is, like trust that, like, I can do those things and I don't have to be working. Like, I don't have to be home, like, batching content or whatever. And that I can just 100%. Trust that simply going out and, like, just talking to the person I'm out with could somehow
that could
lead to something beautiful.
100%.
And that's, I think, what I'm not doing. And even, like, traveling. Like, I used to love traveling, but I'm like, well, I don't have money to take a trip, or I'm not going to, you know, do this because it's not directly related to growing my business. But it's like, I guess, there's a lot of things that don't seem to be directly related to growing my business, but they're directly related to making me happy, and they're probably also indirectly related to growing my business.
100%. Yes. So I would go out socially, even if there isn't money to travel in, like, a big way. Go, you know, even if just go to the shore for the weekend or, like, whatever it is, give yourself the life, you know, give yourself the experience of taking in life and enjoying life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because then another part is I also feel like I need to be like studying more, practicing more, like learning more in my time off.
No.
But it's
no.
like trusting that no. like just showing up as I am now is enough to support a client through and raise my rate.
Yeah.
Like, like I can charge someone $500 to $1,000 a month right now just as I am and not need to, like, study more, like, practice before a session. Like, it's so much time and energy goes into that stuff.
No. Yeah.
And then believing that. I think, like, the tears right now because it's, like, I want it to be true, but, like, part of me is, like, kind of not 100% fully on board. But I think just, like, I have to practice.
In your body is the part of you that is on board? Where can you feel it?
I think my core, like my, solar plexus core in there.
Yeah, keep on focusing there. What does that feel like in your core? This knowing that you are enough as you are. What does that feel like?
It feels like solid and grounded.
Yeah, keep on just focusing there in your core, in that solid and grounded place. The knowing that you're enough. What is that place? What else does that place want you to know? What other wisdom does it have for you right now?
Just, like, that you're here. Like, you're here. You made it. And just kind of this sense of, like, you're here. You're grounded in this space that you keep thinking you want to be in. Just own it. Like, take it. Claim it.
It's like it's right there for you, for the taking. It's right there for you. Right?
Yeah. And just trust it. Like, trust that, again, if I don't fill the space with things I feel like I need to do and I just show up present and grounded, like, that'll give me the feedback I need right now to see, like, oh, wow, that was really powerful. And I also enjoyed my day and did something else fun instead of prepping all day.
Yeah. I want to reflect one more thing to you. I want you to really take this in. From, like, the first time that we connected, and the first time we connected was I saw your a picture, like your Facebook picture, and then we met in person. But from the moment that we connected, Dana, I could feel energetically that actually your most natural state is one of abundance and pleasure. Like, mm-hmm. you have all of the makings of it. And it drips off of, your images, your website, how you present in person. It's, all around your energy. It's just you owning what you already have. That's all that's left here. Can you feel that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
For this weekend.
Yes, I planned tonight, so that I didn't cancel yet, and I won't.
Okay, good, good.
Thank you, Joanna.
You're welcome. Okay, who is this? 8451. Are you laughing?
Oh, that's me.
Who's me?
That's me, Joanna. It's Viv.
Oh, hi, Viv.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I had a few different things that I was gonna ask, but I think probably I'll ask one of the more ones, important ones. And that was around last time we connected, it was around the wheel,
mm-hmm.
and what are the different spokes of the wheel, and I've been working with that for a little bit, and I would love today to receive a little bit of support around clarity on kind of the new spokes, or the new spokes that I'm adding on. Yeah, that would be wonderful, because it feels a little bit of a jumble. Like, it's all kind of all wrapped in together.
Yeah.
Did you say? Oh,
I said, let's hear them. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the good thing is that what this practice has done is, I've had so many moments over the last few weeks where I'm like, wow, I'm, really offering a lot here. You know, and that's been really nice to take in and to look at it. And be like, oh, yeah, I do that. Oh, and I do that. Oh, and I do that. You know, oh, wow.
Many dimensions to it. Many dimensions to it.
So many. So many. So, the ones that were already there are things like lab assessment and, the functional and conventional labs, and I kind of put the other one, root cause physiology, or more. For me, it's about insight about what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hormonal health, there's the tools like herbal medicine, nutrient therapy, nutrition. I kind of lump those all together.
Mm-hmm.
There is the coaching. You know, there's the sort of the visioning and the goals, the accountability, the support, all those inner pieces along with that. But then there's this kind of deeper layer. And, of course, a lot of it has to do with, the journey that I've really been on probably – since we first connected, and that you've really been a huge part of supporting me through, and then just the cataclysm, whatever that happened this past year. And it's been, and I think that combined with sacred health, so I've seen a couple things in my practice in this last year, and it's really exciting, and they were kind of happening before, but now they're happening more often, and it has to do with a much deeper way of kind of thinking about it is almost helping clients unhook from old definitions of health, because the whole thing has so much perfectionism in it and, pressure and all that stuff, unhooking from that and leading them through a self-discovery about what being healthy means for them.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of part of that is connecting and listening to their body, right? What does that feel like? What does this feel like? And so there's kind of defining what healthy is to them, defining how they want to feel in their body, defining what that is for them. And it's like, that's one big part of it. And then there's some, maybe that's really it, but there's another part. I had a client this week. There's two client stories that I'm thinking of for this conversation. And one of them is a client who, like, she has, her whole idea of health was much more about, like, being on this diet or being on that diet and, like, doing this and, like, knowing this and having this plan. And she has, for herself, discovered that being healthy, like, her vision is this feeling of fluid consistency. And, like, we're exploring that together, and we're really looking at what that feels like for her, what that looks like in real life. It's like she's this, yeah, that whole new definition for her and what that feels like. But then there's also another client of mine who, like, she was, like, the one, and this shows up, was, like, working so hard to take care of herself and working so hard and just not seeing results. She had, like, a long history of eating disorders, and, like, she came to me because she hadn't had her period for months and months and months. And, like, I had a call with her the other day, and she was, like, I feel like a woman. Like, I've, because she's, you know, gone, you know, we're a lot about just listening to her body. And for her, it was like feeling her, like, womanhood and, like, stepping into that and owning that and feeling so grounded in her energy, more grounded than she's ever been in her life. And that, I was on the call with her, and I'm like, this is really amazing. I was like, I just want her to, you know, like, be there forever. I mean, she's only in her early 20s. And yeah, so it's that part. So it all kind of is connected in, but I don't know how to share that and say, like, this is there for you.
Yeah. So first,
and this
I
is possible.
Really want to honor the two client stories that you just shared with, because it's really big, and it shows, like, how far you've come in terms of how you're, I mean, you've always been amazing, but, like, I'm really hearing how much more masterful you are in your work with your clients. It's really profound, especially that, I mean, both stories, but especially that second story, like, to support this young woman to feel more embodied and to own her womanhood.
Yeah, like, it makes me want to cry. I know, like, I couldn't, like, on the pole, I was like, I don't know whether to jump, like, 10 feet high or to bawl my eyes out. You know, it's like, I'm so excited for her.
Yeah, it's really profound and really incredible. So, yay. I don't think that you're going to be able to encapsulate the depth and the profoundness of what you're sharing in one phrase, like, if we're just speaking about a spindle on a wheel. But we can have a phrase, and then the idea is, you know how it is with messaging. You've heard me say before, sometimes messaging is shorter, and then sometimes messaging is longer, right? So it's like, we'll have the phrase so that you know what it is, and, like, you can use it sometimes in quick ways on the wheel, you know, whatever it is. But the idea really then is in your newsletter articles, in your social media, when you're on your sales calls, you know, when, like, whatever kind of marketing you're doing, is you want to speak to this in different ways, either through the client examples or in other ways, right?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not like the phrase is not the end-all, be-all. It's like the message expands in the different marketing scenarios or situations where it needs to expand. And it also gets delivered over time. It's not any one thing, too.
Yes. Yeah, and for the first time in, like, over a year, I've actually felt like, oh, my gosh, I could write, like, 100 newsletters about this.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I mean, Yes, I can feel it. I can feel it coming from you. And so, you know, in terms of just like what is the piece on the wheel, you know, what is the phrase? Again, this isn't going to like encapsulate it, but one, I'll just toss one idea to you is I'm hearing something like deepened, it could be deepened, but it could be another word, like deepened relationship to your body, yourself, and your well-being. Or next-level relationship to your body, yourself, your well-being. Or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you can use different words in different places and different ways to get at all of the facets that you just described.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
Sure.
I feel like this exercise has allowed you to, like, not only start to articulate the all the things, you know, like the like I said earlier, the dimensions, and not only help
mm-hmm.
you own more of like the amazingness of your work, but I think it's actually really starting to shape the messaging, which was the original question on the last call, you know, because we can see now it's true. Like, it isn't just about the testing and the nutrition and that, right? Like, there's this whole other piece that's intermingling with all of those other tools.
Yeah. So, and it's that whole other piece is so exciting for me to like dive into.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a whole chapter
mm-hmm.
Ahead still. So awesome. Yeah, this feels really clear and that gives me a lot to work with, and I like that it doesn't have to like squeeze into a tiny little one-sentence box.
Yeah.
I was like, it has to fit on this one pin on the wheel.
Yeah, no. There's no way that it could.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for what's going to come forward.
Yeah, yeah, so am I. Thank you. All right,
cheers. All right, and Erica.
Hey.
Hi.
So, it's been really amazing to hear everyone today. It's super rich, and I really feel it. I was really enjoying a couple chats ago just around bringing in more joy to what we're doing. And so this has to do with like what I'm experiencing lately with my business. Like I'm taking a break the last 2 weeks of March. I'm going to have an automated email that's like, hi, I'm not here.
Yay! Yes, you get to have time off. Yay!
Yeah. Don't try to ask me anything because that's not nice. Like I'm telling you that I told you all 3.5 weeks ago I wasn't going to be here. And I'm also going to send everyone an email next week with three names of other coaches who can do some follow-up things with them if they need it. So it just feels really good. And at the same time, I'm like, okay, so when I come back into April, you know, how do I need to set this up so that I don't feel this way again? Because, of course, it's great to plan vacations. That's one thing. But I'm mostly planning this staycation because I, like, felt like I was, like, going to collapse. So what I realized was that I was looking at people's logs, like, 7 days a week, talking to them twice a week. I feel like this happened after that woman wrote the horrible review. Like, I felt like I had to, like, prove to everyone that I was perfect or something. So I have a couple of, like, ideas, and I'd love just, like, your intuitive response to it because you're a mama too, but also a coach. So I feel like I could come back to, you know, 2 calls a week, which I pretty much love. You know, I do like a Monday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday. It's up to a half an hour. It gives us time to bond and talk about sleep because both are important. And possibly check the logs like just Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays, because that would give me Wednesday off and the weekend off. But then I had this other idea, and I know, like, I have this, like, my homework is to make the decision, but I want to, like, say them out loud because I have some thinking to do, right? Like, and this other idea that's like, wait, what if you, like, checked in with them Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you checked the logs, but you also hopped on the phone with them for 15 minutes or 20 tops and only worked with 5 people max, so that you could do those 5 people, like, on any given Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you're always giving them space Tuesday, Thursday to, like, take your tips and your feedback and over the weekend and, like, be empowered. Like, I'm not doing this for them. Like, I'm their guide. I'm giving them information. I'm helping them through challenges. I'm reminding them, like, when they forgot to, like, follow a wake window, or I'm, like, emotionally supporting them when it's hard, right, because they might be weaning a feed. It's all these things, but I realized, like, how much I've been doing that I haven't been enjoying. Like, I don't enjoy looking every day. Like, I don't feel like I need to know what they're doing every day in order to help them.
Yeah, so that's actually, just from a logistical standpoint, that's my question, is, like, what are you looking at on the log, and how is that helping them?
So on the log every day, what I do is I take a peek at how bedtime is going, because they're working on independence. And every night, what they're doing in the method is they're fading themselves out of the room. So I have them, like in the room by the crib, and then they have them, like, taking steps back and back and back in the following 2 weeks, so that it's this truly gentle fading out approach, but I'm helping them each night keep the baby's fuss, like, on a scale from 0 to 10, like, under, like, a 6-7, you know, and not even consistently. Like, it might, like, reach that level, but then we always want it to come down. Like, we want the baby to, like, become independent, but, like, day by day it's very slow and it's gradual. Like, it's the opposite of cried up. So that's why, like, I'm on every day to, like, see how they're doing and to cheerlead them and to tell them, like, yay, so tonight keep doing that same thing, or tonight you really want to back off, actually, because she's doing so well. So
yep.
I want to have, like,
Erica,
mm-hmm.
You're actually doing the opposite for your clients of what you're suggesting they do for their babies.
Right, they're dependent on me.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really intense. So, you know, because of the work that you do, and also just even outside of sleep work, you know that, like, the way that children grow, and I think this is how adults grow too, is, like, they need to know that we're there and holding the container, but they need to do it themselves or else they don't learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, Erica's going to be on the log every day, so I'm not going to read that entire document she sent.
Right.
Erica's going to be on the log every day, so, like, I can forget, like, that wake window is really important. If I don't follow it, then, like, bedtime's going to be a disaster because my baby's going to be cranky.
Exactly. You're not actually empowering them with the, like, sacred responsibility of feeling that strength inside themselves. So they need your support. They need to feel like they're being held. They need to feel like they're being seen. And if there is an emergency, you know, within limits, they need to feel like you're there to help them. But that's different than you, like, literally pulling them along every day, which is a little bit what you've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if we take all of that into consideration, what is actually the more empowering way? You laid out a couple of really great things. What's going to be most empowering for them, you know, and for you?
Yeah, I'm just like writing down Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, log check and call, and then I'm writing down like, you know, Monday, Thursday, log check and call.
Yeah, and so, like, I would say don't increase it to 3 calls. I mean, you know best, but my guess is don't increase it to 3 calls a week.
Right.
It
okay,
feels like
helpful.
Compensation for looking at the log less. Like, it's still, you're just, you know, like,
right. No,
twice a
helpful.
Week, you know, and then you look at the log every other day with the weekends off. And that also doesn't mean, like, if you are working with someone and, I don't know, the baby gets a cold and they, like, need a little extra support. So maybe you're going to look at it on a weekend. But that's a person-by-person and scenario-by-scenario basis. That's coming from a place of you honoring yourself and you being in service of empowering the mom, but not coming from fear that you're not good enough or doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or that they can't do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, it's so good.
Okay, good. How is all of this feeling?
It's great. All of it's great. I love how, like, you just, like, set it straight up. Like, I'm not teaching them what I'm expecting them to teach their child. Like, I'm not offering, yeah, that parallel coaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do love, like, keeping my 2 calls Monday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday. That way I don't have to talk to every client on the same day. Like, one day I can have 2 calls, the next day 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of my energy to be on calls. It's a lot. It's really heavy.
Don't want to increase. Even if you decrease the session time, it's still, I think, putting out more energy to be talking with people.
Yeah.
3 times.
But I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to write on the contract that, like, I do not check log. I'll check their log 2 other times during the work week.
Yeah.
So that's giving me Wednesdays off.
Yeah.
And weekends off, and I'll write, like, in italics, like, if something is going on, you know, if the notes and your documents and, you know, all of our, like, tips that you have so far, if you're, like, are absolutely stuck, you know, if your baby gets, you know, is sick,
yeah,
whatever,
can
send me a quick email.
Yeah.
Send me a quick email and tell me to pop on the log, because that's another boundary I have where They don't ask me things on text or email. Like, they have to tell me, pop on the log, I wrote it there.
Yeah.
And that brings out a lot.
I wouldn't even have, and they can let you know via email that they've put something on the log.
Yeah. And could I even say, like, and I will respond within 24 hours? Or is that, like, a little bit, like...
No, I think that's... I think they have to pay you a lot more money if you're going to respond right away.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Because I, like, my packages are, like, they're very affordable. They're not cheap, but
no,
they're very affordable.
Yeah, I mean, to respond right away is, like, a different level of invest. You know, if you want. To give people the option that you respond quicker, that has to be a different level of investment.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, which I don't think I'm ready for, like, adding on, like, hey, for an extra, you know, $500,
right,
you know, I will respond within, you know,
right.
I can't.
So you just set the set that exactly. So set the expectations and set the container. You know.
Yeah.
The other thing
it's
I
really
want to
helpful.
Remind, good. And this is the last thing I want to remind you and remind everybody on the call is, you know, like in Sacred Depths, I always say, when you're working with a client, it's like there's the content that you're actually working on the client with, which is important. And then there's the stuff in between the lines that they learn through the dynamics in the container that they have, you know, forever. Well, they have both forever, but, you know, and basically with you, Erica, it's like, you're working with these mamas on sleep, but if you empower them as mothers through this sleep journey that they're on with you, then they will get to feel more empowered in all the other aspects of being a mama as they go through the year.
Can you say that again?
I don't know. Can I say what I said? There's the issue of helping them with the sleep, but mm-hmm. then there's also the issue of empowering them as mothers. And if you mm-hmm. give them that gift through the sleep journey with them, then they'll have that feeling of empowerment when they decide if the kids should go to preschool or not. When the kid isn't eating what they want, you know, like all the things.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Right? So it's like there's so many reasons to shift up in the ways that we're talking, not just for your benefit, but for your client's benefit too.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I'll say is like listening to the other women before me here today. I realized, and I had done this before too, just like before I had Wednesdays and weekends off, I just like tripped out and like started like going crazy a few months ago and like doing too much. And now we know why, because I was like traumatized, mm-hmm. By a bad review. But anyway, I realized, listening to the other women that I can add in like an add on of like 2 to 3 new mama wellness calls where, you know, we're not talking about sleep at all, but for 40, you know, 5 minutes, I can do like my coaching
yeah.
that I've learned
yeah.
with you and as
yeah.
a doula. And it's just so funny, Joanna, because I was doing this before too. I was doing this over the summer and like, all right, I stopped doing that because I got like so overwhelmed and I was just like sleep. But like it's other things besides sleep. And like, that's where my strength is as well. And I need to like, have that available for people.
Yeah. So this is a reset for you. Let this whole month with your vacation as the culmination be a reset and a regrounding. Okay?
Yeah. Love it.
Good.
Wow.
All right, everybody. It's so great to connect with all of you. I'm sending you all a big hug. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.